We are glad to be sharing the ministry of Redemption Church with you. Now join us as we receive the Word of God.
My name is Jessica Allison. A year ago, my friend invited me to a College Connect group, and although I was skeptical, I went anyway. I had never really trusted churches that much. They had seemed kind of fake to me. But I went to Redemption and it wasn't like that at all. It completely changed how I thought about church. John the Baptist said that he baptized with water, but there was one coming after him who baptized with the fire of the Holy Spirit. Today, I'm getting baptized with water to invite Jesus to baptize me with the fire of the Holy Spirit.
Was Jessica Allison then, but now her name is Jessica Blessing. Didn't you love seeing her testimony video? Clap your hands for that. We love that. That was September of 2011. Let me tell you, we celebrate every baptism we've ever had around here, not just when we're having it, but years later. We love to look at that, and it just did my heart good this week to look at that and just remember every step of your journey, Jessica. It's been beautiful, and that baptism is just one of those many beautiful steps. This past week, we had something major happen this last week. Let's see, was it The Voice had, like, someone kick off? No, it wasn't The Voice. What happened major this last week? Oh, the election, that was it. I should have wrote that in my notes. For some reason, I didn't remember. Yeah, there was some election this week, all right? And I'm going to talk seriously about it for a second. Although the electoral count was not close, the popular vote was very close. It was close to a 50-50 presidential elections. And it was, by all accounts, many people say this, I'm sure you would agree, if you ever watched TV in the last, 2 years, that it was the most negative presidential campaign ever by both sides. We aren't picking blue versus red here. Don't get nervous about that. No, we're telling you that both sides, it was the most negative presidential campaign ever on both sides. If you disagree with that, I don't think you've watched television in the last 2 years. And this negativity, it has left 50% of Americans joyous and 50% of Americans worried. If you've been on social media, it's pretty crazy on there. Starting around, 7 p.m. on Tuesday night, it just got ridiculous. People were saying, I'm going to delete all the friends on my Facebook account. Everybody, I can't believe you supported this guy. I can't believe you supported that guy. You voted for that, blah, blah, blah. It's like, what in the world? And all of that is a byproduct of this negativity and this deep divide that's happening in our country right now. Last time I checked, it's called the United States, right? We should be united as Americans. Yet more than ever, we seem divided into two groups, red or blue. I love that we're choosing our election like colors. That seems kind of funny and silly. All right. Before we go one more step, can we just take a moment? The election has happened. Whether you voted for anybody that got elected or not, can you just take a moment with me? And we're going to pray over those people. Will you do that with me? Let's lift up prayer for them. God, Lord, we pray right now for all of our elected officials, from the president to his vice president to his cabinet, God. Lord, we pray for the Congress and we pray for the Senate. We pray all of our state officials, all of our governors, whoever was elected right now, Lord, we pray, Lord, that your kingdom would come into their vision, Lord, that they would be able to see that you are truly God. Lord, if they don't know you, Lord, we pray, Lord, above all things that they would come to know you, because, Lord, we know that will change all of our lives for the better. God, we pray all of this. We thank you that we live in a country that has freedom. We thank you for that, Lord, and we pray your blessing on us, God, right now. In Jesus' name we pray. And everyone said amen. Amen. I want to encourage you to continue to pray for our elected officials. Is that all right? I also want you to pray for this deeply divided country. We believe Americans should be united. We also believe that Christians should be united. There should be unity in the body of Christ. Absolutely. In case you aren't sure about that, well, look at a scripture that says it. And they say I'm backing up my point. See? It's like I'm preaching up here. Ephesians chapter 4, 3 through 6, NIV says this. Make every effort to keep the unity of the Spirit through the bond of peace. Verse 4. There is one body and one Spirit, just as you were called to one hope when you were called. One Lord, one faith, one baptism, one God and Father of all, who is over all and through all and in all. All right. There ought to be unity in the body of Christ, especially when there's one body, when there's one Spirit. If there is one hope, we ought to find some unity. If there is one Lord, we shouldn't be divided on Him. If there is one faith and one baptism, if there is one God and He is the Father of all, we have a lot to be unified on. That's not a trick question. That's not a trick statement. No, we have a lot to be unified on. There's one. Yet, there are approximately 41,000 Christian denominations and organizations. That's according to the Center for the Study of Global Christianity at Gordon Conwell Theological Seminary and Wikipedia. It's no surprise that the church has splintered over the years. We see that. We see that. You just drive down the road and you can see splinters, right? However, these splinters have splintered and then splintered again to this huge, crazy mess. 41,000. Just think of that number. Ever hear of the Methodist Church? Have you ever heard of the Methodist Church? Raise your hand if you've heard of the Methodist Church. Praise the Lord. We love our Methodist brothers. Did you know that there are 18 distinct, separate Methodist denominations? Lutheran. Who ever heard of the Lutheran Church? Ever heard of the Lutheran? 70 distinct denominations and organizations. Pentecostal, 98. Anglican, 26. Baptist, 98. And it just keeps going on and on and on. All right? Inside these denominational numbers I just gave you, there are even more groups inside of it. Splinters, splinters, splinters. I hate splinters. Don't you hate splinters? I hate that. There ought to be unity. I remind you that there's one body. There is one Spirit. There's one hope, one Lord, one faith, one baptism, one God and Father. Now, we thought there was a divide when we just talked about a country that's divided 50-50 red-blue. How about 41,000 splits of Christianity? You want to talk about division? There it is. Can we agree that that is ridiculous? A little bit ridiculous there. All right. One of the greatest divides amongst all these movements is our subject for today, baptism. This is kind of a different sermon. It won't let go of my heart, so we're going to talk about it, and I felt led to talk about it just like this. Baptism is a division point among all these groups. In fact, some of these groups splintered and divided from each other just over the subject of baptism. Let's read about it. Hebrews 6, 1 through 3. It talks about baptism a little bit. So come on. Let's leave the preschool finger painting exercises on Christ and get on with the grand work of art. This is the Message Bible. Growing up in Christ, the basic foundational truths are in place. Turning your back on salvation by help and turning in trust towards God, turning in trust towards baptismal instructions, laying on of hands, resurrection of the dead, eternal judgment, God helping us, we'll stay true to all of that. But there's so much more. Let's get on with it. This is Hebrews, and he's talking to people that are really going through some struggle. They're going through some persecution. Hebrews was written to persecuted believers in Jesus Christ in Israel. And he's saying, you know what? We know all this stuff, these fundamental truths, these foundational truths. We need to just know that stuff, remain true to it, and move on. However, in our current world, how can we move on if we're all disagreeing? And if someone brought up baptism, it started an argument. So we're going to talk about this today. The worldwide body of Christ should be unified and growing up in Christ. We should be grown-ups in Christ, right? The basic foundational truths should be in place. We should stay true to this foundation and go on to greater things in God. And one of those things, Hebrews tells us, is baptism. Today I want to talk to you about the baptism schism. Baptism schism. Everyone say that? You should have said it funny like I did. The word schism means a division, a separation, and so baptism schism, it rhymes, so I went with it. We are going to learn three things from Jesus' baptism. And our motive today is going to be one thing. It's going to be love. That's going to be our motive today. And it's going to be love that seeks unity and truth. All right. Before we launch into the story found in Matthew 3, let's say this. It should not be this way. 41,000 should not be this way. Can we all agree there? I want us to agree on that before we move on. It shouldn't be that way. There shouldn't be such a disagreement over something so simple as baptism. And most of our disagreements are just that simple. They shouldn't be. It should not be that way. Baptism ought to start a celebration, not an argument or a debate. Baptism should bring us all to focus on Christ and not our denominational differences in lines. So I want to speak to you from that motive. Is that okay today? You hold me to that because that's what I want to do. Redemption. Let's talk about Redemption Church. Redemption Church is a non-denominational church. Why is it a non-denominational church? Well, our non-denominational status is not founded out of hatred for other denominations. It's not. No, we love our brothers and sisters in Christ. Even when we disagree, we love them with the love of Christ, and He draws us to love them all the more. So we're non-denominational, but it's not out of hatred. It's not out of argument and bitterness. Our goal is to get our doctrine straight from the Bible and not from a denominational creed. What we preach, how we worship, and even how we baptize, we find it straight in Scripture. It comes straight from Scripture. Show us in Scripture where we are wrong, and we will try our best to change. Okay? Does that sound fair? Thank you, Scott. Scott sounded it's fair. Y'all are all not still wondering about it. I don't know. It's fair, I think. We are non-denominational because we think our identity should primarily, solely, be found in one person, Jesus Christ. And far too often, we think that some denominations find their identity in their church name. We don't want that. We don't want that. Frankly, we don't. Here's the last one. And this is a doozy, so get ready. Here it comes. Frankly, we don't fit into most of your mainline denominations doctrinally. We'll just come right out there and say that. We don't. The fact that we open up this altar and we ask everyone to come right there, that's just not done in most churches, but that's how we roll. That's how what we see to be true in the Word of God, and that's how we want to live out our faith. And so we don't make apologies for that. But we know that we don't fit in most mainline denominations doctrinally. And we don't have a chip on our shoulder about that. All right? We aren't out to prove ourselves correct and them incorrect and call them stupid names and they call us stupid names. We're not above that. We're supposed to be growing up in Christ, right? Yeah. All right. We simply want to walk in all the truth God has for us and keep the main thing. And that main thing is Christ. Right. I'm going to say that one more time because I want to give you another chance to amen. Maybe you have a better one in you. All right, ready? We want to keep the main thing, and the main thing is Christ. Man, if there's anything to amen, it's that, I believe. All right. If you have any questions on baptism, we have a short Bible study. We'd love to go over with you. The people that are getting baptized today, they went through this Bible study and answered all their questions, and they knew, beyond a shadow of doubt, they wanted to be baptized today. It will go into far greater detail than what I'm about to go into. All right? So come talk to us about that. Matthew chapter 3. We're moving on. Here we go. Matthew 3, 13 through 15. Then Jesus came from Galilee, everyone said Galilee, to the Jordan to be baptized by John. Everybody say Jordan. The Jordan is a river, all right? But John tried to deter him, saying, I need to be baptized by you, and do you come to me? Jesus replied, let it be so now. It is proper for us to do this to fulfill all righteousness. Then John consented. He baptized Jesus. All right, so first thing I want you to get from Jesus' baptism is this, obedience. Baptism is an act of obedience. Jesus came from the area of, you said it a while ago, Galilee. Someone's paying attention. Good job. And he came to the river Jordan. Y'all have got your A game today. He came for one reason. That reason was to be baptized, absolutely, by John the Baptist. The river Jordan and Galilee, they aren't just like right around the corner from each other. It's not like, I'm just going to run over to 7-Eleven and I'll be right back. That would take like 7 minutes if I was really slow, right? What I'm telling you is that Jordan and Galilee was quite a distance. It was over 60 miles. 60 miles. So Jesus got in his Jeep Grand Cherokee and started driving? No. He walked 60 miles. What? That's a major journey, right? Have you ever walked 60 miles to do anything in your life? Sometimes I have to walk 20 feet to the fridge and it's just too long a journey. Amen. Amen. There's a breast cancer walk that you walk 60 miles, but you do it over the course of 3 days. This is Jesus' journey. This is no small thing. So I don't want you to think, oh, he just went and got baptized. You know, I'll just go do that. No, it was an effort. It was an effort to go get baptized. This same Jesus is baptized. And later he dies on a cross. Later he's buried. Later he rises again on the third day. And then as the resurrected Lord, he spoke out the Great Commission in Matthew 28. Here it is, verse 18. Then Jesus came to them and said, all authority in heaven and on earth has been given to me. Therefore, go and make disciples of all nations, baptizing them in the name of the Father and of the Son and of the Holy Spirit, and teaching them to obey everything I have commanded you. And surely I am with you always to the very end of the age. End of the book of Matthew. He raises up into heaven. All right? Quite a dramatic last words here. Why are we baptizing today? We'll tell you this. The one with all authority in heaven and earth commands us to baptize. It's a big deal to us. Everything this is not just somebody with a suggestion. I'll drop this little suggestion in your suggestion box. You know, maybe go out and baptize some people. No, this is Jesus. Got up from the tomb, walks through walls, Jesus, right? Go out and baptize. So that's a command, and it's not a command from anyone. It's the command from a person with all authority. So if you are in this place and you've not been baptized, that command from Jesus is also for you today. Jesus walked 60 miles. So we're going to tell you this. Whatever it is you need to do to get baptized, to give your life to Jesus Christ, whatever it is you need to do it. And you should do it as soon as possible. Baptism is an act of obedience. Baptism is also important. Why did Jesus even need to be baptized? That's a good question. There are some places in the Bible where Jesus does something and it is specifically to fulfill an Old Testament prophecy. Remember when he gets on the donkey and he goes in on Palm Sunday and they're like shouting Hosanna in the highest? He gets on that donkey, and that fulfills prophecy. And he was the one that asked for it, said, there's a donkey over there, go bring him. He specifically was doing that to fulfill prophecy. Why was he baptized? Was it to fulfill prophecy? I can't find any prophecy in the Old Testament about this baptism. So it's not that. Also in the New Testament, it says repeatedly that baptism is for the remission of sins, for the erasing, for the forgiveness of sins. All right? So when we are baptized, that's, you know, that's one of the reasons we're doing it. Jesus had no sin, right? So he didn't need to be baptized for either of those situations. And I really can't come up with any more other than that. Honestly, I don't fully understand Jesus' reason for being baptized. But I'll tell you what he said. Is that fair enough? Matthew 3:15. Jesus replied, "Let it be so now. It is proper for us to do this to fulfill all righteousness." Then John consented. Jesus let John the Baptist know that he, Jesus, needed to be baptized to fulfill all righteousness. I don't get this, because if there's anyone righteous already, it's Jesus Christ. He's the righteous one. He's the Holy One of Israel. It's him. He's without sin. But all I can tell you is what he said. I don't quite understand it. Is that okay if I don't understand it, but I obey it anyway? So, Jesus, is this baptism really that important to you? Let's read the Message Bible version of Matthew 3:15. I think it's amazing. But Jesus insisted, "Do it. God's work, putting things right all these centuries, is coming together right now in this baptism." So John did it. There was a spiritual thing that was happening right there in that moment where he was baptized. And that's why he did it. I don't know what all happened, but I know something that God had been planning for centuries happened in that baptism. Isn't that powerful that God has stuff for you that he's been working on for centuries? Do you believe that? I believe that. God has stuff for you that he's been working on since day one. And Jesus, he is that. You know, in the beginning was the Word, and the Word was made flesh. Jesus is that plan that God's been working on from the very beginning. Man, he's been working on this since the beginning of time. And it's for your benefit. That's pretty awesome. I tend to believe that God loves us. Could it be that Jesus felt this step of the journey, his baptism, was just as important as the steps he would take when he walks up a hillside called Calvary? I'm just going to throw that out for you. You answer that. Do you believe that God's work is coming together right now in baptism? We're going to baptize today. Courtney, Angie, I want you to believe that God's work is coming right to you when you are being brought down and brought up in the name of Jesus. All right? Baptism is important, and baptism is obedience. And coming to the final point, identity. It's important, it's obedience, and it also reveals identity. Matthew 3:16-17 says this, "As soon as Jesus was baptized, he came up out of the water. Then heaven opened, and he saw God's Spirit coming down on him like a dove. And a voice from heaven said, 'This is my Son, whom I love, and I'm very pleased with him.'" And I'll just time out. Everyone heard this. Everyone saw it, and they heard it. How could someone walk away from that moment with any other thought than, "This guy is the Christ. I should follow this guy no matter what." Right? What a powerful experience, right? Have you ever had that moment where God just kind of reveals himself? He kind of does something in your heart. He does something. He reveals whatever it is. He splits heaven and earth for you when you pray. Whatever it is, and you just know, whoa, this is really God. And he's real, and I think I should follow him all the rest of my life. You ever felt that? That's what I hope someone was feeling in Matthew 3 here. I believe that Jesus already knew he was the Son of God. I don't believe it was a surprise for him. I don't believe he was like, "What? Really? Oh, what do you know?" But, however, those standing around definitely needed to hear this voice. I believe that. I believe John the Baptist needed to hear that voice. I believe that all those disciples needed to hear that voice. I believe that we today, God, we need to hear that voice. If there's someone in this house that doesn't know you're the Son of God, God, please send that voice to us today. declare Jesus to be your son, all right? When we are baptized, there is a sense of identity that comes. God just stamped Jesus, not just for Jesus, but for everyone that was there, that this is my son, I love him, and I'm pleased with him. Baptism is not about belonging to a denomination. It's not about belonging to an organization. It is about belonging to God. Baptism is not about identifying with the church. It's about your identity in Christ. We have a great scripture for that. It's Galatians 3. So in Christ, this is verse 26. So in Christ, you are all children of God through faith. For all of you who were baptized into Christ have clothed yourself with Christ. All right. So first, let's say this. This is honest. We are children of God through faith. We aren't replacing faith with an act of getting wet. If you get baptized without faith in Jesus, you are indeed just getting wet. But if you have faith, baptism will identify you in Christ. For all of you who were baptized into Christ, not a denomination, not a church, but into Christ. You aren't baptized into Redemption Church today. We love you. You're free to hang out with us forever, and we prefer that. We love that. But you're not baptized into Redemption Church. It's something far greater. You're baptized into Christ. If anything ever happened to Redemption Church, that doesn't affect your standing with Jesus Christ. Praise God. Amen? You aren't clothed with the logo of Redemption Church. You are clothed with Christ. I believe when you are baptized, the Father has much the same response that he had in Matthew chapter 3. I believe he looks down and he declares, this is my son or this is my daughter, and I love them, and I'm pleased with them. Our musician, if you come. Baptism is really simple. I'm going to just close with this simple idea of the simplicity of baptism. I don't understand why religion always takes something so simple and makes it complex and confounded. Baptism is not meant to be a legalism. And religion is so good at just coming up with rule after rule and religious legalistic rule. Here are the rules. Long list of rules. It's not to be another burdensome rule, baptism. It's not supposed to be, all right, and you also have to do this, and then you also have to, you should also pray, and they're just stacking up all this stuff you have to carry. Oh, to be a Christian, it's so hard. We aren't meant to argue and bicker over baptism formulas. We aren't meant to bicker and argue over being sprinkled versus being dunked. We believe that the Bible lays all that out, but that's not the purpose of baptism. God wasn't like, I'm going to make them all do baptism so they'll argue. No. It should have unified us. Baptism was never meant to make us argue and bicker over whether we're supposed to be baptized pre-salvation, mid-salvation, or post-salvation. It's not about any of those things. Jesus isn't about any of those silly legalisms. And he definitely doesn't carry the same heart that most of those religious legalisms carry. Most of those religious legalisms are there to lock people out and lock people in. Jesus, he says, whosoever will come. That's what Jesus is about. Everything you do unto Christ should not be done out of a legalistic religious obligation. It should be done out of relationship. Do you agree with that? It should be done out of relationship. All right, so people in Acts chapter 2, they come in contact with Jesus and his spirit. Relationship happens. You know what happens next? They get baptized, about 3,000 of them. In Acts chapter 8, there's a city, Samaria. and they receive the word, the news of Jesus Christ, and they come in contact with this relationship with Jesus, you know what that whole city does? The whole city gets baptized. Later in Acts chapter 8, out in the middle of nowhere, there's this Ethiopian eunuch. He's just reading the scripture. He's doing his best to understand it. But somebody comes along and introduces him to a relationship with Jesus Christ. And you know, the next thing out of his mouth, he's like, there's water. Why can't I be baptized? Acts chapter 9, there's this Christian killer. This is a bad dude. His name is Saul. And he contacts Jesus Christ in a very strange way, out in the middle of the desert. You know how he came in contact with Jesus Christ? God smacked him to the ground and he was blind. You know what? It worked, because later he's baptized and now he's Paul, and he carries that truth to the ends of the earth. Acts chapter 10, they're Gentiles, and they weren't even sure that they could be saved. But you know what? They called for Peter to come talk to them. And he told them about Jesus. And before he was even done talking to them, God filled their heart with the Holy Spirit. And Peter and all the people are like, these people have come in contact with Jesus. Anybody argue if we baptize them? And they're like, nope, they baptize them. You get a pattern happening here? Acts chapter 16, there's a jail situation. Paul and Silas are in a jail. They start worshiping God. God shakes that prison, and the jailer, the Philippian jailer, runs up to them, and he's scared to death. He thinks he's going to die. He's not about to die. He's about to live, because they share with that Philippian jailer news of Jesus. He comes in contact with Jesus. And that very night, he gets baptized in his entire house. Acts chapter 19. It just keeps going on. Don't wait for it to stop, because it won't stop. It happens today. It's happening today. Acts 19. There were these religious people. They were followers of John the Baptist. They were his disciples. And they were they come in contact with Paul. And Paul's like, hey, have y'all ever received the Holy Spirit? And they're like, we don't even know what you're talking about, dude. And he says, well, how are you baptized? And they said, well, we're baptized in John's baptism. He rebaptizes them. And they come totally in contact with Jesus Christ, and it's powerful. And then they are no longer disciples of John. They're disciples of Jesus Christ. And they go on sharing that good news. It keeps happening. It keeps happening. There is no amen at the end of the book of Acts, because it's still happening. And it's happening today, Angie. Courtney, it's happening today. Jallison, it happened to you. Raise your hand if it's happened to you in this place. Aren't you glad about it? That ought to put a smile on your face. If anyone comes in contact with Jesus, you ought to be baptized. Not here to argue about it, not to hear you make feel bad. I'm just telling you, man, that is just a logical next step for you. And it's a powerful next step. And we're so glad that we can be buried with him in baptism and have that promise of rising again. Everyone who comes in contact with Jesus Christ should be baptized. Again, it should be done out of relationship, not out of religious obligation. We are about to open this altar. I want to key on this understanding that everything should be done out of relationship and not religious obligation. I want you to get yourself ready to come to this altar today. We do three things every time we come to Redemption Church. We're not springing this on anyone. We told you at the very beginning of service, this is what we do. We're going to open up this altar, and we want you to come. We want you to come talk to Jesus. It doesn't mean you're a sinner. It doesn't mean that you've got something terrible going on in your life that we should all gossip about. It doesn't mean any of that. It just means that you are about to come into closer contact with Jesus Christ, and you're about to talk to him, all right? And when you come today, I don't want you to do it out of obligation. I don't want you to do it because, well, that's just what we do at Redemption Church, and it's a legalism. I do not want you to come to this altar today because you're worried about, well, someone will think I've backslidden if I don't come. You got me? I want you to come out of relationship. Here's the two reasons you come today. Number one, you have come in contact with Jesus, and you want to thank him, and you want to draw closer to him. That's number one. And number two, if you have never come in contact with Jesus, but you want to, you come to this altar.
Thank you for joining us. For more information about Redemption, look us up online at www.redemption-church.com and be sure to connect with us on Facebook and Twitter.